This is Dave Gloetz. I'm here with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jurofsky. How are you doing today, Ben?
Very good.
That's good to hear. Today we're talking about your column that's titled Check the Thermostat in Hell.
Clever title.
Yeah, that appears in the Reader on May 6th, 2010. Your article describes your attendance at a meeting of citizens in the 33rd Ward, to which you were invited by the alderman of the 33rd Ward, Richard Mell, to talk about Chicago's use of tax increment financing. And maybe for our newer listeners, in about 20 seconds, you could describe how Chicago uses tax increment financing.
How do they use it?
Yeah.
To steal tax dollars from the unsuspecting public and give them to Mayor Daley to spend them as he will.
I guess I want to know, what's the statutory intent of tax increment financing?
The intent, which really bears absolutely no relation to how it's used, is the intent is to eradicate blight in poor communities. But since there are no real statutory requirements to do what the program is supposed to do, they do everything else with it.
So you were invited to talk to a group of citizens in the 33rd Ward, and to continue our civics lesson, let's describe the 33rd Ward. I have the map here.
Good job.
This ward is not as convoluted looking as some of them. It goes roughly from the Chicago River on the east to about Pulaski on the west, and to Elston Avenue on the south. So let's talk about the article. One of the things you said was that the alderman invited you to this meeting, and you said that the alderman used you to look like he's on board with reforming tax increment financing. Do you think that's the only reason?
Well, first of all, I was sort of jesting when I did that, as though the alderman really cares. I think that what happened was that in the course of the meeting, it became clear to everyone, to me and the alderman, I was really surprised, maybe he wasn't, that the crowd was Ben-like and Dave Gloetz-like in their disdain for the TIF program. And I was further surprised by how knowledgeable they were. You know, so often when I talk about TIFs to people, I have to start with this like basic explanation, and there's this confused look often in the eyes of the people as first they struggle to try to understand how the program works and the enormity of the scandal, and then they don't believe me, which is a classic Chicago reaction.
It's like the stages of grief, right?
Yeah. Disbelief, yeah, and denial, and no, it can't be so. I would know about it if it were so. So we go through this evolutionary process, and then some people get mad at me. Hey, you're bringing me bad news. I don't want to know about this. But this group had worked through all those different phases before they showed up for this meeting, and we're there with a mixture of outrage and humor, which is really about the only way you can take a look at this ongoing scam of $500 million a year at a time that the city's bankrupt. So I was really surprised by their opposition, and I think Mel was a little caught off guard by it. And so a brilliant politician that he is, one of the best I've ever seen, he very nimbly took a turn in the TIF reform direction and announced, to my surprise, that there was a lot that we agreed on when it came to the TIF program, and that he was going to support some reform initiatives, which I teasingly pointed out that he'd voted for every TIF deal that ever come down the pike.
Of course, he's up for election in 2011.
Yes.
Also at the meeting was State Representative Deborah Mell, who is the alderman's daughter.
Yeah.
And you said that after the meeting, she called you and said she'd be talking over tax increment financing reform legislation with State Representative Harry Osterman.
Yeah.
What else did she say to you about then?
We agreed to stay in touch, and there was nothing specific.
Why did she call you?
Well, because at the meeting, both State Representative Mell, the daughter, and Alderman Mell, the father, said that they were going to take steps introducing proposed legislation that would eradicate some of the problems with the TIF program, or correct those problems. So she was just checking in with me, but in reality, she admits that she's very much a rookie when it comes to TIFs. She doesn't really understand how the program works. She's just coming face to face with it. And so essentially she's going to educate herself about TIFs.
You spoke at the April meeting, and apparently this group of ward citizens is going to have a May meeting at which they'll invite the so-called other side, a spokesman from the Department of Community Development, to talk about why TIFs are good for Chicago.
Right.
And they said that rather than have a debate, you've had your say and now they'll hear the other side. It seems to me that debate never happens. You've talked to me about how you've appeared on Chicago Public Radio and proposed that you have a debate with somebody from the city and that they are reluctant to do that on the radio with you. So do you think that we're missing something because, you know, people just get to hear the one side, then they get to hear the other side. They don't actually get to hear a give and take on it.
The reality is that the city has to concede that everything they've said about the TIFs is inaccurate, and they have to update and change their explanations of what TIFs are and how they work. It's not even a debate, really. If I were on with them, I would be arguing with them. I'd be saying, just please tell me right now that everything you have about this program is filled with inaccuracies. They'll go to a public meeting in front of a group of people who probably don't really know much about TIFs, and they will keep making things up. And if someone says, oh, but I read in the Reader an article by Ben where he says XYZ, they say, oh, well, he got it wrong, and that'll end it. Where if I'm there, I would say, well, where am I wrong? Let's discuss this. Where am I wrong?
So that's the discourse that I was talking about that the public is missing.
Yes, the public's missing that. Look, you're a smart guy, Dave. We've been discussing TIFs for 2 years. You feel free anytime to point out errors in my stories. I got to think that if there was something wrong with my analysis of how the TIF program worked, you alone would have stood up. You either would have stopped interviewing me or you would have pointed them out.
My point is that someone who is strongly in favor of the program would probably have not only perspective on it, but motivation to pull out points about it that I would not because I don't feel so strongly about it. So I think that would be sort of the dialectic that would result if, you know, you were able to talk to somebody
like
that.
The debate would ultimately, first there would have to be a reconciliation on the point of, is it a tax hike? Then there would have to be reconciliation on the question, why is it not on your tax bill? Then there would have to be an honest discussion about how much money it diverts from public schools and public parks. Then there would have to be an honest discussion of how much money does it give back to the schools and the parks by funding school and park programs so that you can come up with a bottom line number. All these things would have to be honestly addressed so that the public would have an accurate notion of exactly what this program costs them.
I think you've just outlined the debate I want to hear.
Once we've dealt with all those points, then you have to ask yourself the larger question, and here's the debate. Is it worth it? And that's where, well, you can make the argument that, yes, it's worth having a secret program that secretly takes money from schools and parks and jacks up our taxes without telling us it's jacking up our taxes so that we can give it to United Airlines.
In fact, you've had one or more city officials tell you off the record that that's, in fact, what they want.
Yeah, I think they were sort of doing it in jest, but I think it's actually serious. The really sharp city officials who know how this program worked, I don't know how many of them there are or if they're still working for the city, work from the assumption that people in Chicago are not ready to handle the truth. So they need to be fooled and deceived about the actual cost of funding everything that their government pays for. So what better way to do it than come up with a confusing, deceitful program that tells them one thing that's completely untrue. And as long as they don't pay attention, who cares?
Now, that would be an interesting debate.
Yes, that would be an interesting debate.
We'll leave it there. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
This is Dave Gloetz. You've been listening to the rest of this story. When you get a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.